It's time now for Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. You can call the show now at 503-397-1600 or toll free at 877-397-1632. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KOHI, staff, management, or sponsors. Now, here's Melinda.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. Welcome to Setting the Record Straight. Carol and I have a great show for you lined up this morning. We have three guests with us this morning. We have Mayor Rick Scholl. Rick is the mayor of St. Helens. We have Mayor Jerry Cole. Jerry is the mayor of Rainier. And we have Scott Jorgensen. And Scott is the city manager of Rainier. And we're all here today to talk about House Bill 3115, or rather the effects of that, and that is that the legislation that is requires the city or cities, urban cities, to find places for the homeless or decide where the homeless can't camp, and it's a complicated issue and it's a controversial issue, and we're going to be chatting with everyone of these two cities to talk about how each city is dealing with this legislation. And I just want to thank you all for joining me this morning, joining Carol and I. And Rick, let's start with you. St. Helens has been the topic of quite a bit of controversy over plans, one plan that emanated from the Planning Commission and another plan that the City Council wants to go forward with. So would you like to start with this?
Sure. Back in March, we actually had a joint meeting, and at that point in time, our census was to actually not go with a actual encampment. We thought we were fairly clear on that, and the Planning Commission ran with actually trying to create an encampment, and it was very, very controversial. A lot of animosity and a lot of half-truths throughout the community. I had people that were just very, very scared. And of course, I had a lunch with the governor, and people will see and assume things that we were going to get an influx of Portland homeless out here in our area. So it's a very complex issue. This House bill was created last year about this time, and all cities are having to deal with it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's kind of delve into some of the things that you talked about. First of all, let's talk about your lunch with Governor Tina Kotek.
Yeah.
She came out here, and people got onto the 4Cs and other social media and were making outlandish claims. It's not unusual for governor to meet with the mayors of cities, is it?
No, it's not. And actually, I got a call the night before that she's on listening tour, and she'd like to have lunch with you. And I was like, absolutely, I'll have lunch with the governor. And I was able to talk about her infrastructure needs, show her where some of the Main Street grants have went in our town, talk about our urban renewal and our waterfront redevelopment. And she was amazed at all the stuff we had going on out here. So I was pleasantly surprised, because I don't think our views, our political views always align, but I was very pleasantly surprised by her demeanor and her professionalism, and so I'll say that much.
Okay. Well, yeah. There's a radio talk show host in the Portland market who apparently made some comment, whether it was in jest, sarcasm, or he really believed it, and it really set off a firestorm, and Carol's the one who picked up on that. Right, Carol? People were posting on locally saying that they were going to bring in the homeless and turning Columbia County to...
Right? Yes, and it was sad, because I was happy to see the governor come to our county, and you toured some parks, and at the same time there was some talk about you have to start looking at where you're going to put your homeless as a community. And then this person who is not somebody I respect, but he started the rumors, and then it got on to Nextdoor, and it got on to several other things, and it sort of got in the way of a problem we all have to face, and it's not anything to do with politics. It's to do with human beings and what are we going to do with them. So, and it's still going on. 2 days ago, this person was still saying that this was going to happen, and these people were quoting him.
Okay.
Yeah, that's funny, because my number has always been the same. I do have an email. I have never received an email or a phone call or even a chance to go on a radio station. I'm familiar with who you're talking about. and to actually hear straight from the horse's mouth about what the meeting was. I thought it was very, very funny that I am not in charge of any Columbia County parks. I was getting a bag full of money for homeless camps in county parks for the waterfront. Mm-hmm. And then the waterfront's actually an urban renewal, and we've been working on that for a number of years. So, a lot of, misinformation out there.
Right. Which is great. This is why another great reason to have you on, to actually set the record straight. So let's talk about what St. Helens is planning to do. You decided not to go with the suggestion to build a homeless encampment behind the rec center. So what is St. Helens actually going to do?
So we're actually aligning kind of with what the city of Rainier has done. We are excluding a number of areas, residential neighborhoods, waterfront, the parks. We are leaving the Holton District open because of the resources in that area, community action specifically. And the rest of it is open. To create an actual encampment is a lot of work. There is a lot more behind it. It was getting forced, felt like it was being forced by a certain member of the planning commission. And so I started researching it, and, there is a lot behind, a homeless camp, and there is a lot of liabilities too that the city would be on the hook for. So.
Sure. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Yeah, I can imagine. Also, the cost. You can't keep people in a particular place and not have...
It requires a third party. It requires a third party and a lot of resources.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. So, Jerry, I'd like to chat with you right now. So, what has Rainier decided to do in terms of House Bill 3115?
So, you know, the first thing I want to say is I want to stress that we don't have, that it's not about not having compassion for people that are houseless/homeless. Okay, we do have compassion for these people. You know, if I could wave a magic wand, I would make sure that everybody had a safe place, a house that they had. You know, I mean, it's sad that these folks, you know, there are fellow citizens. They don't, for one reason or another, they don't have a place to live. So I want to stress that it's not about we don't have compassion for them. We do have compassion, okay? But what we did to meet the needs and follow the bill is we did what I would call, and I don't know if everybody's calling it this, but I call it an exclusion model. Okay. And what we did is we're not saying that you can't rest on public property for 24 hours like it says you can. That's what Salem decided that was good for us. And so what we did is we established areas that you can't camp at. Okay. In the ordinance, it doesn't say where you can. That's up to the person looking for rest to decide. We're not, these aren't designated spots. Just because it's not on the list doesn't mean that it's a designated spot. It just means, you know, I guess if you need to rest, you can rest there. But some of the areas that we, excluded were, City Hall and adjacent sidewalks, Senior Center, the City of Rainier Marina and adjacent parking lots, Riverfront Trail, the sewer treatment plant, the water treatment plant. If anything needs changed in the future, we could add add to later, but that's where we're starting. And again, I personally call it an exclusion model. And we don't make decisions just based on, hey, let's throw this and see if it sticks. You know, we used Oregon League of Cities attorneys. We studied the State House Bill 3115. We had public forums on it, and then we made what we thought was a reasonable decision. Frankly, we don't have the resources in Rainier to have an official homeless camp. We can't afford it. Two, we don't have the resources for it. And it's not in the cards for us to even consider having a sanctioned camp.
Understood. Thank you. So you did mention the Oregon League of Cities, which is a group that cities can turn to, and it's a sort of an umbrella organization. Am I describing that right? And have they been a good source of guidance? Are most cities following the same path that Rainier and St. Helens are taking?
So this is Scott Jorgensen, your city administrator. So most of the cities have the same insurance provider, CIS, and the attorney that was provided to the cities by CIS was the one who had worked on the Grants Pass case. And Grants Pass is my hometown, so I've got a soft spot. And the Grants Pass decision was basically reinforcing a lot of what was in the Boise decision, right? Martin v. Boise, which the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled on. And that was the impetus behind House Bill 3115, was to comply with that ruling, right? Because the Supreme Court wouldn't hear an appeal of that. And so that ended up being the law of the land and staying the law of the land. And yes, that is the approach that this attorney recommended to other cities. And I've been getting calls from cities from one end of the state to the other asking to see our model so that they can use it, which was what was recommended. Again, they say they wanted every city to have its own specific, unique, right, solution, but based on kind of that exclusion principle. And that's why it kind of surprised me when all of a sudden we were being bashed publicly for doing basically what was recommended to us by attorneys that were recommending that every city do the same thing.
Exactly. Right. Well, I think a lot of the controversy, as Mayor Scholl had discussed, was it's been in the media that there's a person, an individual who has resigned from the Planning Commission over it, I understand, that he really felt that his way was the best way. But as you've all discussed, Indy's a third party administrator. No city has, at least no city in Columbia County has the resources to do that. And then you're getting into some other issues, as you all know. Then it becomes sort of like an internment camp. I mean, they're not stuck there, but we're saying you can't go anywhere except here. So that probably opens some other legal can worms. So you've all been put into sort of an untenable position, it seems. Meanwhile, what are your citizens saying? I'd love to hear from Scott or Jerry. What are your citizens of Rainier? What do they want to see happen?
So Jerry here. So our citizens are fine with the ordinance that we came up with. We did have a public hearing on it, and there really wasn't much input. I think where our citizens are frustrated is what they're doing in Salem. You know, that's where the frustration lies. I think our citizens in Rainier at least know that our hands are tied in the fact of we follow the house bills and laws of land that come from Salem. And whether you like them or not, we have to follow them. For me, one of the biggest roles of the mayor is decreasing or minimizing liability to the city.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, we don't like to get sued. You know, in municipalities, the fact of the matter is, they get sued, and my goal with a lot of these ordinances and whatnot, are to minimize potential suits and go on to court, because it's expensive. And you know, so, and for this ordinance in particular, when our insurance agent is they actually paid for a lawyer. We didn't even have to pay for the lawyer to help us. So you have your insurance company providing a resource to you, walking you through the process and helping you. And frankly, they're not going to cover you if there is a suit if you don't follow their advice. That's just the way public insurance works. Because if we said, nah, you know what, we're gonna do this, and your insurance agent's going, well, the first thing they'll do is they'll send you a letter saying, well, we're dropping you from our insurance, effective immediately, and you know, we can't afford to pay lawsuits. That's why we're all insured, and we try to protect our liability as best we can. I don't know, Scott, do you have anything?
So one thing I did want to mention was during the current legislative session, there was a city councilor from Roseburg who was pushing for amendments to a Senate bill that would have actually provided cities that act in good faith that put together homeless camps with protection from liability, right? But what I will point out is that this went nowhere. These amendments were not adopted. But, you know, the city of Warrenton, Lincoln City, Klamath Falls, the Dalles, Coos Bay, League of Oregon Cities, Newport, Burns, there was some support behind it. We didn't, because it was never an option for us to set up a homeless camp. But even in this, there were a lot of provisions, right? It has to be in an area that wouldn't pose a danger to occupants. There has to be, you know, a separate allotment for each occupant, 10 by 10. Has to be graded for stormwater drainage, access to sanitary facilities, hand washing stations, trash disposal facilities.
That's right.
So yes. Right.
Mayor Scholl here. Yes, everything you're saying is absolutely true. I did research what an encampment would require, and it's a lot. Again, for our citizens, you know, they're just kind of confused on what's going on with Salem too. You know, with, I think it's measure 114 with the, what we thought was going to be treatment for drug addiction was actually just legalization of drugs. And then to open up the whole state for homelessness, you know, they're concerned, what is our state sending a message to the United States that, hey, drugs and homelessness are welcome out here. I'll speak on this, and again, this is Mayor Scholl, so I didn't make that clear, that when I first came into office, I did actually at the Leadership Summit in Portland, I did a housing needs breakout session, and at that time, we needed 30,000 units to meet the demand, so that would be apartments or houses, and at that time, Oregon had only built 17,000 units. Now, if you figure that out, that's about 2.5 people per average house. So that's 30,000 people that are displaced, that the need is there, but the houses aren't being built. So, I mean, they've been aware of this for a long time, the state has. And, you know, and now they're pushing on to us cities, you know, you know, there just needs to be, again, I'll go, Mayor Cole, I appreciate the way you started out. You know, we have homeless here in our city, and this is not that we don't care. We absolutely do care. We have limited resources, and we do a good job with the limited resources we have. So I appreciated that, the way you started out, Jerry.
Yep. Can I add something real quick? I know we're talking about House Bill 3115, but as Mayor Scholl said, it's House Bill 110.
Oh, yes.
Measure 110. So, Measure 110, and this isn't a scientific study by no means, okay? This is just fingers on the pulse of what's going on the street, okay? You could either believe me or not believe me. But frankly, Measure 110 is a failure. Okay? Granted, some agencies are getting some money from it. Okay? And those agencies would consider that a success, right? And, you know, I mean, they don't want to see that that funding opportunity cease. But just to put it to a point, Measure 110 is a failure. The latest I heard about 3 or 4 weeks ago for the pro Measure 110 folks is, well, there hasn't been enough time to study it. Well, you know what? There has been enough time, and Measure 110 needs to be repealed because it's a misdemeanor for illicit drugs. Whereas before, you know, the courts and law enforcement, right or wrong, was able to force you to get some sort of treatment and help. Whereas now, it's comparable to not wearing a seatbelt, you know, or jaywalking. I mean, it's a misdemeanor for illicit.
We're going to put a pin in that, and we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to delve more into House Bill 3115 and Measure 110 and talk about how both of those are playing into the current situation that cities are finding themselves in. So we're going to discuss that when we get back. This is Setting the Record Straight. Stay with us.
Need towing? Call Grumpy's Towing, 24-hour emergency service, providing jump starts, winching and recovery for autos, trucks, to boats. And Grumpy's Towing is equipped to service large trucks to semi-trucks. Grumpy's Towing is here to give you prompt service, and they work with most insurance companies. When you need help, remember Grumpy's Towing. That's the name for 24-hour service. Call 503-543-5533. Grumpy's Towing, 503-543-5533. Hudson's Portable Toilet Service. They go where you go. From construction sites, outdoor events, any events where you need extra facilities, it's Hudson's Portable Toilet Service. Clean, prompt, safe, and reliable. Call Hudson's Portable Toilet Service because remember, they go where you go. Hudson's Portable Toilet Service, 503-397-1534. At Hudson's Portable Toilet Service, they go where you go.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, and this is a pop quiz. Does sitting on your wallet feel like sitting on a lopsided booster seat? No, but it should. See, Farmers agents can help you stuff your wallet by combining auto and home policies so you can walk tall, sit crooked, and hopefully find a decent chiropractor.
If you want answers about saving money, you want a Farmers agent. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Call Michael Ismert, agent, 503-543-3990. Nothing is more important to your overall health than water. Did you know that less than 1% of the world's water is safe for human consumption? The water that flows through your faucets and pipes for daily use needs to be clean and pure. And the quality of your water and equipment you use to ensure that quality is simply too important to leave up to chance. You need McMullen Water Systems for all your water needs, from pumps to filters. So call the name you can trust, McMullen Water Systems, 503-397-1744.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
It's Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. Call the show now at
503-397-1600.
Ooh, we've got big fun. And we're back. And we're back. We're on our time this morning. About the effects of House Bill 3115, and we've been discussing also Measure 110 and how the effects of Measure 110 are playing into some of the homeless situations that, well, every city in the state is facing. So, to go back to our conversation, Mayor Cole, you had mentioned the Measure 110 and the effects of Measure 110 have increased the homeless situation, and I'm assuming it's because you feel like drugs are more available, or people don't worry about being high on the streets because they know if they get arrested, they really can't be arrested. Is that,
So my point with Measure 110 is it's contributing to the homeless challenges that we have. You know, We're trying to work the best we can with House Bill 3115, but Measure 110 is adding pure gasoline to that fire. And by no means, you know, am I saying every houseless person is on drugs. Okay, I'm not saying that. And it's not a study, like I said, you know, but just fingers on the pulse of what's going on. The lion's share of our houseless folks are on some sort of drugs. And I've got a theory behind that too. And this one's just basically opinion based. They're self-medicating. Okay. They don't have a house. They're depressed. They're not getting treatment from a doctor for depression medications. And they're self-medicating. Okay. So, I mean, I have compassion for that, but we can't, sometimes these folks, you have to force them, you know, to, hey, you know, if you take this or you talk to this doctor, it's going to help you more so than that street drug that you're taking.
Sure. Can I just point out that Measure 110, which I supported because I felt like it was going to give money to treatment centers that were going to come up and running because we don't have enough treatment centers. It's hard to get people, once they decide that they want treatment, then you have to find a place for them. And that was the whole idea behind it. At least on my understanding, and Carol and I had guests on the show, proponents and opponents, was that it was going to open up treatment centers, we're going to get people in, and this hasn't happened. So now you're saying you'd like to see it repealed.
Mayor Scholl here. So that Measure 110 actually is just a basically like a traffic, not even a traffic ticket, a parking ticket. It's $100. You can let them stack up. You will not be fined. If you call a treatment facility and get a referral, that's all you have to do is call, you can get the $100 citation waived. But you can just let them continue to stack up, and there is no repercussions for having a gram of fentanyl, meth. I forget all the quotas. You can have LSD. You can have mushrooms. You can have pretty much everything. And I've got to tell you, the fentanyl is rampant. People are dying daily because of it. And I hate to scare people with that, but it is the cold hard truth, and it's affecting a lot of families. And so I would agree with Mayor Cole on, you know, our officers in the judicial system. It does work to some extent, and that's gone. That ability is completely been waived.
Okay. Well, you bring up a point that I wanted to get to next, and that is you have these exclusionary areas. Both cities have decided to do that. Now, if somebody, let's say somebody does find a place to camp, is there going to be a limit of the time they can camp? And if so, who is going to be patrolling? Who's going to be moving them on, so to speak? Is that police?
Okay, so ours is a 24-hour, and of course we are right down to the deadline because of all the controversy on it. And so yes, it'll be complaint driven, of course. There are homeless around our area that are out of sight and out of mind, and for those people, you know, that we don't know where they're exactly at. We should probably go, you know, search, but they seem to be out of the eye. But if there's an issue, yes, our police will come, give them and let them know that they need to be moving on. And it is reasonably objective. You know, it is reasonable for them to move on in a 24-hour period. So, again, that was by CIS. And the attorneys, and I actually referred to two other attorneys that the city has, and they all agreed that this model was definitely reasonably objective, and that there's less liability with that.
Can I ask you a question about the 24 hours? Mm-hmm. What if it was a family and they're homeless, and if it was 3 days, wouldn't it be more, wouldn't they be more apt to be able to, like, couldn't CAT find them or another social service be able to reach out to them if they knew where they were? But if they move every day, is that
so our officers can make that call. They're pretty good at and intuitive about dealing with people, and they know, you know, if they're working with Community Action or if they're currently waiting for something at CCMH, I'm not sure, you know, what that would be, but Community Action particularly is where we get our a lot of help from for our homeless. They actually will, in the wintertime, pay for people to have a hotel room. So, I would say that would be that type of, yes, that scenario we would try to help out those. I mean, we're not, like, again, what Mayor Cole started out with, it's unfortunate that they're in that position, and we don't want to make their life any tougher than it already is. They're already depressed. They're probably not feeling good about themselves. The kids are probably crying. Maybe they're in diapers. You know, maybe they need diapers. I don't know, you know, but that situation's real, and we do have compassion for those people. So, I just want to state that.
Okay, thank you.
So here, I got Jerry here again. So here in Rainier, like, the 3 days wouldn't be as reasonable, because it's not like Community Action is searching for them. The way the process works, at least here in Rainier, would be our officers would make contact with them, ask them what they need, where can we help. If it means getting a hold of Community Action, we get a hold of them right there. They don't need 3 days to do it.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, again, it goes back to that compassion. You know, we want to help people, and our officers are really good about, hey, what can we do for you? You know, some of them just don't want you to do anything.
Right.
A lot of the folks that we run into are, single people or a couple. I could honestly say I haven't seen a family of six, you know, taking up camp in our parts, at least. Not that it doesn't happen, with the houseless. A lot of those folks, we do have those folks, but they do what I call, they're homeless, but I call, they're like couch surfers. You know, they'll stay with this family for a little while. They'll stay with this family for a little while. They're still statistically in that group, but they're not the what people see, like somebody, you know, staking up camp in the park next to the playground equipment. You don't really see that.
Right. Okay, Carol, did you have a question?
Yes, it's just interesting to hear from the horse's mouth, but I just wanted to say, part of this is we have to look at this systemically. And when you look at, I was involved in a homeless issue over 30 years ago in Portland when they shut most of the institutions and everybody ended up in the streets of Portland. And now we just blame Portland for everything, but the people went there because that's where the services were. And there was no place for them to go. And we had people out of mental institutions and all sorts of things. And when I look at what we're doing during the last governor's race, we learned from one of the candidates that we are second from the last in treatment of alcoholism and last in treatment of mental illness. So what are we doing as a state? And a majority of these homeless people, from the statistics I've been following, were in foster care.
Yep.
Started out, nothing against foster care. I didn't care. I admire you guys for having to handle this on the day-to-day level in our communities. But what are we going to do systemically, and how are we going to approach this? Because we really need to look at it. I mean, there was a bill recently or initiative that was give kids who came out of foster care, who aged out of foster care, a certain amount every month so they could have a place to live until they got their lives together. It's not happening anymore. I mean, we shot it down. And I just really worry about who we are and where we're coming from. And I live in Scappoose, although I lived in St. Helens for a while, and it's, we had people breaking into stores to get out of the freezing cold. We shouldn't have to have that. And yet I don't know how we start. I like the third party idea, but it feels like everybody's just blaming someone else. And that doesn't help us.
Well, that is a darn good question. This is Mayor Scholl. So, you know, when I was met with the governor, actually I talked a little bit about this. And I said, you know, I don't think government has all the answers. And she says, absolutely, we don't have all the answers. I said, here's what I see, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, is that over time, and we're talking like 50 years maybe even, the churches used to do a lot in the communities, and slowly government has taken that away, little bits at a time. And when you approach, when those church people go out and they approach somebody on a spiritual level and they actually really try to connect, they make a difference, and that person leaves that situation or gets offered the help or leaves that situation feeling better about themselves. Now, when I go into, okay, for example, DMV, I'm just a number. You know, if I had that service at a church, I bet I'd have a little bit different conversation. And, you know, I don't know what that answer is, Carol. That is a very great question, but you're right. Last in mental health and second to last in drug addiction. When you know, mentally ill people do not even know they are mentally ill most of the time. How would that be?
Right.
Could you imagine, being stuck there? And then addiction is an obsessive mind. It is literally a disease of the mind that continues to call you back at every cost. You're no longer a father, a son, a brother. You will throw it all away to feed that addiction.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question. I don't have the answer.
Many years ago, when Reagan closed down the institutions, and other people did too, and people showed in Portland, I got hired to teach police officers about community resources so they would know where to send these people, because they didn't have any place to go and they didn't want to just leave them. I mean, they'd get calls. This person looks like my grandmother. I can't just leave her out here on the street. And so we need to have another approach as citizens to this. And now I'll get off my rant and let you guys talk, because I'm not the guest. The guest.
Thank you, Joe, for bringing this up. So that brings a question to mind. I don't know, Jerry or Rick, who wants to answer this. Were the school districts involved? Oh, I'm sorry. And Jerry, I think, has a hand up. Sorry about that, Jerry. Were the school districts involved in this process? Because if homeless families are moving day to day, how is the child... is that going to affect education? Jerry, you want to answer that?
Again, just back to my original comment of we're not seeing, you know, homeless families of six staked up in the park. Like I said, those families, granted, statistically are homeless, but they're, you know, they're couch surfing, basically. You know, they're going from house to house.
Sure.
So we haven't seen it. Scott actually has something.
Okay, Scott.
So I wanted to piggyback off of some of what Mayor Scholl was saying, where he was talking about the role of the church. So that had actually come up in the Grants Pass case, because they had the Gospel Rescue Mission there, right? And that, when they were asked about it, they said, okay, well, where could a homeless person go? Well, they can go to the Gospel Rescue Mission, except the Gospel Rescue Mission is faith-based. And so that was a lot of why the court struck that down. Now, in Grants Pass, you had X number of beds available through the Gospel Rescue Mission, but because it was faith-based, that didn't count at all. It was like they had nothing. And, you know, like I said, that's my hometown, and I've seen pictures there from my mentors and from others where there's a homeless camp literally a football throw away from the Gospel Rescue Mission, right? Where here are beds, here is warmth, it's available. These pictures were taken in the middle of winter. Where you say, okay, but they also have barriers, right? It isn't just religious. It's, hey, you can't smoke fentanyl and hang out in our shelter. But the courts decided what the courts decided. The other thing I wanted to mention about the treatment is that Measure 110 was passed almost 3 years ago, right? So we're going 2.5 years now. As of this moment, if somebody were to walk into our police station right now and say, hey, I need to go to treatment immediately, there's nowhere for them to go.
Yeah.
We can't send them anywhere. And we've actually had this happen. So I think it kind of put the cart before the horse. I think the implementation, right, I get the intentions. I get what people were trying to do. The implementation has been a disaster, nothing short of a disaster. And maybe you do have to throw the baby out with the bathwater at this point because it's not working.
Okay. Very, thank you so much. Did you have a comment on that, Rick?
No, I just agree. No, I agree with what Scott and Mayor Cole said. Yes. It's a very complex issue. We have limited resources. We do the best we can. Our officers approach our houseless as they are somebody's son or daughter. Doesn't matter their age, because they are. And try to get them the resources and help get them off the streets. You know, it's very sad. Our school district, you spoke a little bit on that. Yeah, they do have a homeless, you know, there are kids that are bouncing couch to couch. I think Dan Brown, when I reached out to him, because I've really dove right into this, I've not just sitting back. I think we have actually, by DHS standards, 700 homeless here in St. Helens. Yes, that are either shacked up with other families, like Mayor Cole has said. Yes, I think that number's right. You could reach out to him, but he said 700.
700 yeah. Students.
No, 700 total houseless people.
Right. So.
Yeah. I think there was probably about 30 students at one time that I recall. That number does ring a bell about 3 years ago, because we've had this issue for quite some time. And, that was given to me by our librarian. We had actually a, little seminar at the library about houselessness and, 30 students at that point in time. That may have been 4 years ago. So.
Okay, thank you. I want to touch on a point you made, Rick, about churches. I'm not so sure that government has taken that away from the role of churches. Church membership has declined. And if you look in Columbia County as a whole, and you look in each community, the same volunteers are doing everything.
Yes.
And I know that is a societal, it's not just here in Columbia County, it's a societal situation. Because it takes two incomes now for people to exist, and people don't have time often to dedicate to a church or to a Rotary organization or to a community organization. And I feel like that's one of the reasons that we don't have the buy-in in communities like we used to maybe 30 years ago. I don't know. Maybe it's different in Rainier.
Jerry here. One of the things I say with the homeless problem in general is just the price of houses nowadays. The price of a family wage hasn't kept up with the price of a house. So when I was a kid, it was affordable to buy a house, right? And then the other thing too that I remember when I was a kid, if we're talking about, you know, history, is, the regulations for building, too. It used to be, you know, like, I didn't realize it when I was a kid, but lower income folks, they would live in these big, huge trailer parks, you know, right? Manufactured home parks. Mm-hmm. Think of all the manufactured home parks that used to be in Columbia County. and that have either went away or they haven't expanded at all. You know, and that's just my point on like the affordable housing. The current idea of affordable housing is building these, you know, mega apartment complexes, and those apartment complexes aren't for everybody. You know, people want, there's a lot of people that just kind of want their own place. But frankly, it's just not as affordable as it used to be. And, you know, so, I mean, some of us are to blame too. Anybody that's, you know, bought their house for, you know, $110,000 and flipped it for $700,000, you're to blame too. You're to blame for the housing problem. And it goes back to...
Well, what about at the beginning of what you said? Wages haven't kept up. I did a calculation a while ago, and when I was a teenager, I was making the equivalent, waiting tables at 16, of a $20 an hour job now. And, you know, it's ridiculous. Wait, a living wage right now is $30 an hour. And if you look at jobs that are available, they want to pay $14 an hour. People can't live on that. Oh. But you're right. I mean, and then more people, we've had children, and people want to live in the country. So, I don't know.
Well, I think there should be more sweat equity programs. I'm going to tell you, my first house was through Community Action. It was through the USDA, and we actually, they hired a manager. There was no prevailing wage involved in it. And we did half the, build ourselves, and I appreciated it. We worked on each other's houses. It was total of five houses. The other ones were four single moms who couldn't have had afforded it. And we worked and we had volunteers helping us out, and it did make it affordable. It was, you know, still a lot of money, Jerry, but, you're right. You're absolutely right. If we could get more people deserve to have the American dream. It shouldn't just be, you know, to own a chunk of land and have a house. And that's a way of doing it is, a sweat equity program. It worked really well, and I just wish there was more out there. And then they subsidize your loan, and you can break out of that if you make more money. That's great, you know. And it was a good deal for us. And you know, we were a family of four, barely qualified, and we did break out of it. And yes, unfortunately, the house price went way up, and you can get you can make money off of it, you know. And move on. So, it's capitalism. You know, I don't know. I don't have that answer, but I think a sweat equity program for housing, especially with only meeting the demand of 17,000 5 years ago. That's correct.
So looks like we got about 3 minutes left. I just want to take a minute and thank you for the opportunity to come on the show and set the record straight. This is a great forum. I'd suggest that maybe we do this quarterly.
Oh, I'd love to. It's so great, and I'd love to hear from more than just Rainier and St. Helens. You know, Scappoose and Klatskanai, Renonia, everyone. I think citizens need to understand how the process works, and a lot of them don't. They're busy lives, and misinformation travels faster, as Carol has pointed out. That misinformation from that other radio host, not connected with Setting the Record Straight, really caused consternation, and it made it onto the four C's, and then, you know, now 20,000 people are looking at it, and they're mad at the city. So I'd love to have you all on. And city administrators, too. You're always welcome.
Absolutely. You know, I'm in pretty good contact with Mayor Cole, and we've talked about actually getting lunches with Bacchus Joe Scappoose there, and you know, just kind of keeping an eye on this thing too as we move forward. You know, if we see a huge influx, we're going to be talking to one another. We promise each other that we'll be reaching out if we have a big houseless influx coming our way. We are in tune with our communities, and we will definitely, like Jerry said, we can always change things. This is what we're going with right now.
I have a quick question because we only have about a minute left, but really quick. Are people coming in from other communities, or are these homegrown, homeless?
A combination of both.
Okay. Yep. All right. And I just need to have a quick announcement. The City of Vernonia, there's going to be a Pride event on June 30th from 4 to 6 at the Spencer Park Picnic Shelter. So anyone interested in that Pride event in Vernonia, it is June 30th, which is a Friday, 4 to 6 Spencer Park Picnic Shelter. And as things come up, we'll be talking on the show, talking about what's happening in St. Helens with the fireworks and Rainier Days. So don't miss it. But
yes, Kiwanis Day Parade tomorrow at noon, and then Citizens Day in the Park on June 24th. Come out and get a free burger and a hot dog, and then, of course, 4th of July, and then Rainier Days. I always look forward to Rainier Days.
Hey, and don't be afraid to call Mayor Scholl or Mayor Cole direct on our phones. It's all public.
Yes.
We'll be happy to talk to anybody.
Okay, yes. Great. Okay, that's it. We're out of time. Thank you again, all of you, for joining us. Make it a great week. This has been Setting the Record Straight.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
You've been listening to Setting the Record Straight with Melinda Bernard on KOHI. Listen again next Friday here on AM 1600. You can email the show, kohi.radio@gmail.com, or email Melinda, strsradio@gmail.com. More talk, more news, more weather, more sports. 24 hours a day, this is AM 1600 KOHI St. Helens.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Here's a KOHI news update sponsor.